The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up? This is Act Wild from Black Motherfucking Label Society. We need you to come down to the Electric Hellfire Black Label Halloween Bash October 31st. We'll see you in New York City. One night only. October 31st. Be there!
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff. It's time to rock. Broadcasting worldwide from John Astronomy's Silver Spacecraft. You are listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. So sit back, grab a drink, turn up the earbuds, and hit that oxygen axle road style. Because this ship has just hit hyperspace. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome the greatest podcasters this side of Mars, Mark Striegel and John Astronomy.
Hey, welcome to Talking Metal, episode 286. Back here at John's apartment in Jersey City, we have Mike Christie.
Hello.
From Nonfiction and The Cursed, and Dan Lorenzo, also from Nonfiction and The Cursed, and of course Hades. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So there's big news in the nonfiction world. You guys are getting back together.
We are?
I read it online.
You're right.
Yeah.
Saturday, November 7th, myself, Mike Christie on drums, Kevin Bolenback on bass, Alan Tecchio on vocals. Nonfiction hadn't played a show together in 10 years, and we're playing Saturday, November 7th at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey.
Cool. And Nonfiction, of course, put out 3 records, and you guys had the same lineup for all 3 records. Is that correct?
Well, and actually, we really started with myself, Mike Christie, who's sitting to the left of me, Dan Nastasi from Mucky Pup, who went on to start Dog Eat Dog, and Damon Trotta. But yeah, most people know Nonfiction, the band that really slugged it out for 4 years, or 5 years actually, was the four of us.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to the show at Dingbats November, what is it again?
Saturday night, November 7th.
Cool.
Now, how did it come about that you guys decided to get back together and do this show?
Well, we really didn't want to do it, right? But Kevin Bolenback, the bass player, went and saw Mucky Pup do a reunion in Teaneck in New Jersey and came back so excited because he was inundated with people going, how come Nonfiction doesn't do this?
And, you know, Mike and I actually, I think, talked about it. Mike and I also did The Cursed with Blitz from Overkill. And to me, when Mike's on drums and I'm on guitar, and even when we did, The Cursed with Blitz, the Cursed is basically, to me, Nonfiction with a different vocalist, even though we had a different bass player, right, Mike?
Yep.
It was real similar type stuff. When Mike plays drums to my slow, heavy riffs, I think there's something very cool happens. But Mike and I occasionally would have ideas about doing Nonfiction reunions, but I think the time wasn't right for Kevin and Alan. And then a few months ago, Kevin said, hey, let's do it. I'm like, listen, I play basketball all summer, but we figured out we pushed the date back to November, and here we are.
Now, did you guys stay in touch with each other throughout the years?
Me and Dan have, and me and Alan have, and Dan and Alan have, but Kevin slipped off a little bit for a while, doing his own thing, and so we really, just me and you, and you work with Alan, so.
Yeah, I work with Alan at Steppin' Out Magazine. We both compete for selling advertising with each other, but Kevin actually stayed in touch with Alan. Those two kind of were buddies, and Mike and I were buddies. I mean, Alan and I work together, but we see enough of each other at work, But I tell you, when we had our first rehearsal a few weeks ago, it was just like we really could have played a show that night, and we hadn't played together in 10 years as Nonfiction together. And it was this the second rehearsal. I was watching Mike, and I'm like, my God, this guy, you got to see him. I know you haven't seen Mike hit the drums live yet, but he hits harder than anybody I know, honestly.
Cool.
Very cool.
Well, we're going to play some nonfiction music. We're going to play some music by The Cursed. We have Max Cavalera coming up. So an interview with him that John did a couple weeks back. So let's play some music. We'll start things off with nonfiction and then come back and talk some more metal here. I want to do a song which you told me is going to be in the set. This is Listen, a great song. And this is available on iTunes, so you guys can use the links in today's show notes to open up your iTunes. It'll take you right there. You can download it for 99 cents. So let's check it out. This is Listen, nonfiction. What year was this?
92.
Okay, cool. Nonfiction, 1992. Listen.
We think it was 1991. I think I wrote a lot of the music in 1989 and 90. Alan put the lyrics together a little bit after that. So we might be off, but it doesn't really matter because it's 2009 and Nonfiction are playing our first show in 10 years at Dingbats on Saturday, November 7th in Clifton, New Jersey.
And Dingbats is actually one of the only clubs that I've been to in a long time that really has a rock vibe. Sadly, there aren't really any rock clubs in Manhattan anymore, and I had a blast when we played at Dingbats.
Oh, you have to get back into what we did together, right? Now, we did Screaming Metal. That was so much fun. We'll do that again, but for now, we're pushing the Nonfiction show. And yeah, you're right. In northern New Jersey, it's like the only metal club, really, you know?
There's some bar that has an ad in Steppin' Out, the Heavy Metal Bar or something. Yeah. What's that all about?
Well, they don't have bands there. I think it's just, you know, is it karaoke or karaoke, depending on where you live. But I haven't been there yet. It's one of my accounts. But yeah, they're just trying to go with the whole metal theme since it's making such a big resurgence.
Cool. We'll have to check that out. I was thinking it'd be a good place
to do a podcast.
Yeah, do a podcast, definitely. So 10 years ago was the last Nonfiction show, but the last Nonfiction album, It's a Wonderful Eye, was... what, it probably more like 15 years ago?
95, was it? 94, 95.
And what, like 10 years ago when you guys played last, was that a reunion show at that time?
At the Rec Room in Wallington, right? New Jersey.
Cool. And so was that the only time then you guys have played really?
As Nonfiction, yeah.
So since 1994, this show coming up is the second nonfiction show, really.
Yeah, second reunion we've ever done, yeah.
Cool. Well, let's...
Enlist! No, I'm just kidding.
Let's get into another nonfiction song right now. It's a Wonderful Lie is the third nonfiction record that was really well-received by critics and stuff, but it's a very hard album to find nowadays. Is there a reason why it's not readily available on the market?
It was the first CD we released where we didn't have a deal in the U.S. when it first came out. It came out on SPV in Europe, and the release that came out on SPV in Europe was actually the second time we recorded the CD. We made it a demo tape, and unfortunately, sometimes what happens when you make a demo tape on a low budget, all the magic is there. And then we drove up to Saugerties, New York. No, that wasn't Saugerties. Utica, New York. And we re-recorded it for Europe. And there was this, Mike and I weren't inspired. I was like out of love with the band at that point, and it just wasn't a great record. So the European version came out on SPV, and then I landed a deal for us in America on a real fly-by-night label from North Carolina. And that's actually the better version of the It's a Wonderful Lie, actually.
When you say the better version, had you gone back then to the demos?
Yes, exactly. Right. It's the demo version, which if I listen to the European version on SPV, it sounds terrible to me.
Well, I don't know which version I have here, but hopefully it's the demo version. Okay, cool. Well, let's get into something off It's a Wonderful Lie, which we play here. You said
Love Like Nothing? Yeah, we'll do that.
Third album by Nonfiction called It's a Wonderful Lie. We'll be playing that song on Saturday, November 7th at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey.
Very cool. We will be there. Now, guys...
Did you buy tickets in advance?
I didn't buy an advance ticket.
I don't think you'd be able to get in, honestly. We hear it's going to be sold out.
You know what? I will definitely checking into it, buying a ticket for that show. Guys, I want to talk about The Cursed. Now, how did you guys get together with Blitz? Because you did mention that The Cursed was sort of like Nonfiction with a couple of different other guys.
Right. Well, Nonfiction opened up for Overkill both in America and in Europe in 1993. And Blitz and Dee Dee were both really big fans of Nonfiction, as were the guitar players in Overkill, Rob.
Yeah, they really dug it.
And then Blitz and I stayed friends, and Blitz was a big fan of my first solo CD, Cassius King. And he told me, hey, when you do your next solo CD, you know, I covered Round and Round in my first one. He's like, I want to sing the Aerosmith song. So he came down to the studio. I put the headphones on and I, you know, for my second solo CD, and the song was Bright Light Fright by Aerosmith. And Blitz is like, I never heard this. So I quickly had him sing another song off my second solo CD. We talked about him doing something on the third CD, which we write together. That didn't pan out. And then finally, he said, listen, you wore me down. He's like, send me some riffs. Send me some new riffs. So I sent him a song that became One Time. Is that what it's called?
I'm not sure which one.
But off The Cursed. But that was the name of the song, yeah.
Native Tongue? One Time.
Well, Native Tongue was probably like the third song. But anyway, so Blitz and I started writing riffs together. And they became songs, and then we did The Cursed, you know? We got it, made a little project out of it, and it was really fun. Both Mike and I really believe in that CD. It was called Room Full of Sinners, and we really wish we would have done more shows because it's a great record, in my opinion.
Yeah, you guys did one show, and even before you did the show, you said you're only doing one show.
We did one unannounced show at the reopening of L'Amour in Staten Island. They tried to redo it. Is that still going?
Yeah.
It was unannounced, and kind of just a warm-up for the Highline Ballroom, and we did that, and thought it was kind of cool to do a grand opening, grand closing.
Right,
kind of
right, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
When you say you wish you would have done more shows, is that because it would have helped promote the record more and more people would have found out about it?
Yeah, and we knew that, really, too, going in. We know that bands don't sell records unless they tour nowadays, but Blitz said, hey, this would be a cool idea. We'll do one show, because I think he wanted to make such a big production of it that we couldn't really go on tour because the budget wouldn't allow that. But I think in hindsight, we should have done some shows. Like, we should have just played Dingbats and played some low-key shows. And because we really were a garage band, Blitz always describes us as a garage band, you know? It was his side project from Overkill. It was the first time he ever released a side project. And while we both believed in it so much, I have a day gig where, I sell advertising for magazines, so I couldn't go on tour. But we really should have just done a couple shows because the record was really special. We spent a long time writing and rehearsing it, and it came out exactly the way we would have wanted it to, pretty much. And I just wish we gave it a little more juice by playing live shows.
How many people does a Highline hold?
Probably about under 1,000, I think, you know?
I've never been there before.
It was a really nice room, but what was so dumb of us is our record got delayed, Room Full of Sinners, so we ended up playing there in May. The record came out in June, so we have like Joey Belladonna from Anthrax opening for us, and we didn't have a record out at the time, and it was also the first metal show, and you know, people kind of get used to going to particular clubs, whether it's the Starland Ballroom or whatever, when you throw a brand new band whose record isn't out, and then a brand new club that nobody's ever heard of. It was like not the best combination of things to get a packed house, but we had a couple hundred people there, and they really dug it, and I wish we videotaped it and, you know, released that because it was a really good show, actually.
Do you think there's ever a chance that you guys might get back together to do another show in the future?
It's definitely a possibility. Like, you know, here I'm doing a Hades reunion in April in Germany and in New Jersey. We got Hades Hot Sauce out. We're doing the Nonfiction reunion. You know, things never die. Even like I'm sure Mike and I 5 years ago, we said, nope, Nonfiction's dead. It'll never happen again. We'll keep it as a nice little underground thing. And here we are in 2009 doing a reunion show.
Cool, guys.
It's really about Blitz's schedule, too, right? I mean, if he got hot to do it again, we'd probably do it, right?
Cool. And if you guys haven't seen Blitz talk about The Cursed, when he was on our Fuse TV show about, a year and a half ago at this point,
yep.
We actually did a little interview with him and spoke about The Cursed. And that clip, I just recently discovered, is up on the Fuse.tv website, so you can check that out. I don't know. Is that linked through our video section? Maybe, maybe not.
I don't think it is, actually.
Yeah. Well, it is up there if you search around.
It should also be pulled from TVGuide.com in the video section of TalkingMetal.com.
John, are you complicating things?
Yeah, yes. Sure. Go to the video section in TalkingMetal.com, and cool. I'm 99.9% sure that's up there.
Okay. Well, who knows? Let's get into The Cursed, and then we'll come back and talk about the radio show you guys are doing, and we'll also get into your interview with Max Cavalera. This is Evil in the Bag by The Cursed.
That was Evil in the Bag by The Cursed, featuring our guest Dan and Mike, also from Nonfiction, playing at Dingbats, coming up.
Thank you for the plugs.
And you can buy The Cursed on iTunes. We'll link that through the show notes. And do yourself a favor and pick up as much Nonfiction and The Cursed as you can off of iTunes. You guys still make money off the Nonfiction albums?
No, we
albums.
Don't. You know, Nonfiction albums, you know, we actually signed away our publishing back in the early 90s to Concrete Management, who managed Pantera and White Zombie. They gave us back the publishing, but as you know, you said you couldn't even find some of that old stuff on iTunes
the third album, I don't know really the
status right now. I have a piece of fax paper that is disintegrated where you can't even read it anymore, where it says we are allowed to get the publishing back, but to make a long story short, no, we don't get any money recently from Nonfiction. It's been a long time.
Now, for example, did bands sign away their publishing to a company like Concrete so that Concrete, in return, then would do a lot of promotion and other stuff for you
guys? Right. The idea is, I mean, that's the only albums I've ever signed away the publishing was Preface and In the Know, and we got like $50,000, Alan and I, and we split it up. And you do that because you're starving. I mean, if you have money in the bank, you would never sell a percentage of your publishing because there's usually money to be made after the fact. But when you're starving and somebody offers you a check for 25 G's, you take it, you know, even if you're losing your publishing. But yeah, they had got us a gig opening up for Pantera. So we thought, hey, this is the start of just one of many things they're going to do for us to promote Nonfiction. And it was the first and last thing they did for us. So, you know, they were nice guys, and I know Walter feels bad about it, so he signed off the publishing back to me a couple of years ago, but I've never been able to re-release the stuff to get the publishing in order, actually, you know?
Mm. Now, you mentioned Pantera, and one thing that I think is cool is that Phil was actually a fan of Nonfiction.
Right, yeah.
And you told this story, and this will segue into
nice
the radio
segue.
Show
I like
that
this.
You guys are doing. You told this story recently on a radio show that you guys are doing on the live stream, which is something that I'm running with our friends over at Bionic, and it's on Live 365. It's bionicstriegelradio.com, and every Thursday at 3 o'clock, there is an episode of F-Bombs for Everyone, which is a radio show with Mike Christie and Dan Lorenzo. So, guys, A, thanks for doing that.
Yeah, one time you had Mike's name first on the list. I called him Mike. I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. But now Mike and I have had funny phone conversations for years, and now we just basically have taken those conversations and recorded them. We play some music. Like last week we debuted a song that Mike and I did with Jason McMaster from Broken Teeth, Watchtower, Dangerous Toys, a rough demo. We want to thank you for letting us talk on the air, two imbeciles, you know. But yeah, F Bombs for Everyone is a little radio show that Mike and I have been doing.
And yeah, and tell the Phil story.
No, I said, I'm not going to tell the Phil story. I want people to listen to F Bombs. No, I'll tell the story. Alan and I were off doing press in Los Angeles in 1992, I think, or 1991. Doesn't really matter. And I saw Phil Anselmo coming out of his hotel room, which is like four doors down from mine. And I walked up to him and said, "Hey, Phil, I'm Dan from Nonfiction. I don't know if you know who I am." And before I could finish saying who I was, he started singing the Nonfiction song, "The My Way," at the top of his lungs. And those are the things that after all these years later, that, you know, when you're done, you don't make a lot of money, you're not on the level of Pantera, that you always hold near and dear to your heart. You know, Nonfiction opened up for Alice in Chains when they just had Facelift out, and we played pinball with them.
Yeah, world stage in Nanuet, New York.
Yeah, and it's just like things like that you remember forever. You take it to your bank, you tell, you know, your friends, "Hey, we played with Alice in Chains," and Phil Anselmo from Pantera actually sang Nonfiction songs to me once, which is, you know, totally badass.
Amazing. Very cool. Speaking of Nanuet, here's a little Kiss fact I got to insert in here. Rock and Roll Over was recorded in Nanuet at a place called the Star Theater. I think I was at that place, World Stage, before. I wonder if it could have been the same place. Probably not. Little Kiss trivia.
So you guys played pinball with Alice in Chains. Were they pretty together? Was Lane doped out at that point? Or?
We didn't see him. He was in the bus the whole time. We didn't really play anything. Jerry Cantrell was playing Tetris next to our pinball machine, and we really... For some reason, we weren't all that friendly with anybody.
Yeah, you know what I remember? They did the song Dirt in Soundcheck. This was after Facelift just came out. And this is the funny thing. Alice in Chains and Nonfiction. Now, Nonfiction on our own would have done really well up there before, you know, after the record came out. But we played before Preface came out. We did 126 paid, Alice in Chains and Nonfiction, and then you went to New York, you know, when they had one record and we had none.
Good stuff, good stuff. And for more great stories from Dan and Mike, definitely tune in to the live feed every Thursday at 3 o'clock, every Tuesday night, Talking Metal Live is either live or streaming. So tune in for that. That's 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights. Marzeri 2005 is our friend from over in Spain,
Victor.
And he has now a show on the stream. And that is actually comes on after Dan and Mike's show on Thursday evenings. So a lot of new stuff going up on the stream. My friend Eric and I, we did a show recently. There's going to be another Talking Metal live show coming up soon. John, you're welcome to do a show if you want to do the solo Kiss show or
That'd
something.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we're opened, and soon the money will start rolling in, and we're all going to just laugh ourselves silly with dollars just coming down from the sky. But the problem with the stream right now, and I apologize to you guys, is it's not listed on iTunes, so we have no listeners just randomly stopping by. It's only the people that know about the show and want to tune in. So hopefully soon we'll get up on iTunes, and that'll open it up to a new audience. Also, just encouraging all you Talking Metal listeners to give it a chance. I know it's a different format than the podcast here, but everything I'm reading says streaming radio with these iPhone applications, and you can listen on your BlackBerry, and all this stuff is definitely something that is going to get even bigger. So check out F Bombs for Everyone on Bionic Striegel Radio every Thursday at 3 o'clock.
You know, and I'm going to say, it sounds like the wave of the future. I still don't have a cell phone, so I understand for you people who are like me, not quite embracing technology.
You are amazing that you don't have a cell phone.
Thank you.
You'll probably outlive all of us because of
it. I know. Yeah, we're probably going to have a brain cancer soon, but anyway.
It's a happy thought.
Yeah. At this point, I can't live without the cell phone. I'm sure you're like that too, Mark, right?
I've had a cell phone since, I think, 1985 or 84.
I remember once, and this doesn't really have anything to do with metal, but me and you were at a restaurant like many years ago, and you pulled out that cell phone. And, you know, when the waitress came by, I was acting all cool. I was like, yeah, he has a cell phone. How about that? Yeah. I swear to God, I was like, man, I'm at the table with the guy with the cell phone.
The funniest thing was I had that cell phone. John's talking probably about early 90s now,
yeah,
which I had a cell phone like 10 years at that point. But just because my dad was kind of in the business from the beginning. But I had people who would come up to me and be like, I'll never get a cell phone. And then like a year later, remember that guy Max from down in the East Village, Terry's friend?
Yeah, yeah.
That guy said to me, I'll never get a cell phone. Never. Oh, that's disgusting. Okay. And then like a year later, he of course had a cell phone.
See, and I still say that
and,
to people.
And you, I mean, yeah. you actually can say that to people and have been true to your word. But most people, I had so many people tell me, I'll never get a cell phone.
Because don't you think, as I know, you know, I think all girls should have a cell phone. I can understand why most people would want a cell phone, but it does, you know, Alan Tecchio, the singer from Nonfiction, he has good manners. He's a great guy. But we're out to lunch. We're having a nice lunch. We're in the middle of a conversation. The cell phone rings, and everything you're doing with the person sitting next to you, it has to stop. The cell phone takes precedence. I don't understand that, you know?
Well, it doesn't have to. I mean, you can...
But people you know, they lost their manners because of the cell phone. You're online at Starbucks, and this woman's on the cell phone. The person at Starbucks is like, hey, can I take your order? Can I take your order? Can I take... And the people on the cell phone, like, you got away from me. I'm on a cell phone. I am, you know, queen or whatever. So that's what I don't like about it.
I think rude people are rude people.
You're right.
The
you're
cell
right.
phone, you know.
It's facilitated in rudeness, though.
Is another way that they can express their rudeness. But yeah. If I'm at a dinner with somebody, unless it's like my wife frantically calling me three times in a row, right. I'm not going to pick up, you know, unless I think it's an emergency.
Good boy. Good boy, Mark.
I hear what you're saying, definitely. So anyways, on that note, how about John's interview here? You want to... Start off with a little Sepultura and then check out the interview you did with Max a few weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Max was a great guy, and it was just a really cool thing to do an interview with him because I've been a fan of all of his work. SoFi is going to be coming out with a new album next year, so a lot of cool stuff in store for Max. So why don't we start out with some Sepultura? What song you want to play?
Roots, Bloody Roots.
Cool. So let's do that. We'll get into the interview and then about Eye for an Eye off of SoFi.
Sounds good.
Talking Metal on the line all the way from Arizona. We have Max Cavalera from Soulfly and Cavalera Conspiracy. How you doing, Max?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Great. I really appreciate you taking the time out. And you have such a busy schedule. You guys just finished up summer dates with both Soulfly and Cavalera Conspiracy. And you're about to go on tour with Prong and Cattle Decapitation. And I'm wondering, how are you still finding time to work on the new Soulfly record?
Just a little bit. You know, there's like a three-week window between the end of the Cavalera Conspiracy shows that I just did and the next Soulfly tour. So in that little time, I just put some riffs together. But I'm going to start working mostly, dive into the new material after the U.S. tour is over. That's when I'm going to get seriously into the new album.
Very cool. Now, I've heard that this album is going to be shorter and more aggressive than Conqueror, almost similar to the way Slayer did Rain in Blood.
Yeah, that's the kind of the idea behind it. That's the vibe I'm getting from the songs, from the riffs that I got so far. I got like eight songs half written, kind of. And they are giving this idea of a real energetic, really adrenaline, powerful kind of record.
Very cool. Now, after the tour, you guys will then go into the studio. Do you get together in like a rehearsal style situation first, or do you just jump right into the recording studio?
No, we go right to recording, and we do a lot of writing in the studio.
Great.
Together with material that I bring from home. That's kind of a combination of that and the songs that would eventually develop in the studio. So we just jump right into the studio.
Very cool. And now the album is slated for like an early 2010 release?
Yeah.
Cool. Very
cool. Beginning of next year, yeah.
Now, how did you pick the bands that you're going to take out on tour with you, both Prong and Cattle Decapitation?
Yeah, I was really excited when I hear that those bands were available. That was submitted to our booking agent. And I saw that in the list, and I've been a Prong fan for a long time, and I got to actually play with Prong in Sepultura days with Pantera. We did a short tour, and I remember really, really being a fan of those guys. I really loved their material, and so when I saw their name, I was like, yeah, that'll be a kick-ass if they can do it. So we called them up, and they accepted, and then Cattle Decapitation 2, there was a... They were one of my favorite new bands that coming out in the last couple of years. So I'm excited for the bill. And then Mutiny Within, it's just a new, brand new band from Roadrunner, and I also like it. So I think it's going to be a pretty kick-ass bill, I think. I think it'll be a good amount of music for the fans for the whole night.
No doubt about it. I know you guys are scheduled to play a place called the Gramercy Theater in New York, which is a great place. Not sure if you've ever been there yet, but a great metal venue. And we're looking forward to seeing you that night at the show.
Yeah, man, I think it's going to be kick-ass. We're still touring for Conqueror, so we're going to be playing a lot of material from Conqueror, like Blood, Fire, War, Hate, Unleash, Warmageddon. And also from all the other six albums from Soulfly. It's about an hour and a half set list that I have with includes a lot of the new stuff and the old material as well. So it should be pretty cool.
Now, I wanted to ask you about some of the previous gigs you've recently done. You recently went out with Cavalera Conspiracy, and you have a new bass player, Johnny Chow, who we know from the Fireball Ministry days.
Yeah, Johnny just joined Cavalera Conspiracy. And it's been great. He's a great guy. Really brings a lot. Him and his beard brings a lot of attitude into the Cavalera camp. And we just did some shows. The last two shows we did was in Austria and Russia. In Austria was a festival we're open for the Offspring.
Cool.
And it was a really kick-ass show. And then Moscow was a headline 2000 venue. Headline show we did, and so it was great.
Great, congratulations. And what I like about both you and Igor's kind of approach to Cavalera Conspiracy is that you guys do it for fun when you guys have time, and in that way, anytime you're working together, it doesn't seem like, you know, you're forced to do it. You guys are doing it because you want to have some fun and go out there and, you know, rock out together.
Yeah, that's the idea behind it, you know, and that's how we're going to keep doing it. And it will be another record eventually. I don't know when, that's in the future still. But I'm still going to do some more shows. And just like that, we pick up from time to time. I'm going to go see him again and get together, do the shows. And then we don't see each other for a couple of months. And then we get back together again and do some more of that. So it's kind of cool because it keeps it fresh.
Yeah, no doubt. And plus, it never makes it seem like work, whereas there's just a lot of bands that I know get forced into going to make records, going out and tour, and then they kind of seem like they get sick of it. And I love this approach because you'll never get sick of doing that.
Yeah, it's true. And then and Igor loves it, too, and it works out great for both of us.
Cool. Now, here's kind of a weird question. You guys shared the stage with Sepultura for the first time at the Devil's Side Festival in Germany. Now, how was that playing with those guys, you know, on the same bill?
Yeah, we were in the same group, but not on the same stage. We were in separate stages.
Oh, okay.
We were in a total different side of the festival. So I didn't get to really see them at all. I just know they were on the bill, but you know, I didn't got any contact with them.
Oh, okay. Now, one of the gigs that you recently did, and I think it's just such a great thing that you're organizing and putting this together, is you just had the 13th annual Memorial, the D-Lo show, with great bands like Insight and Primer 55. How was that show?
That was awesome. The Dana show is already really great because it's a show that's in memory of Dana, to keep his memory alive, and the crowd was really chanting Dana, his name, before the show started, so that was really emotional. And we had a lot of good bands, like you say, like Inside, Primer 55, and Sadus. So it was a great night, you know, great Phoenix crowd, almost sold out, and really supportive crowd, really, really cool night.
Yeah, and thanks for doing that. I think it's a perfect way to keep Dana's memory alive, and I'd love to someday make it out your way, and, you know, maybe I can attend the 14th annual show.
Yeah, you should, man.
That would be great. Blast. Definitely. We were talking about some of the new bands you're listening to, and that was going to be one of the questions that I had, but do you listen to anything that isn't really metal at the moment?
A little bit of the Major Lazer. I think it's one of the things I listen to that I like, that's coming from a different side of music. And I listen to some European, like, dub, like from England.
Very cool.
And France, they have, like, it's mostly instrumental stuff, you know, so there's not really vocals, no lyrics. It's really, really basic instrumental music, but it's really cool.
Cool. Now, one of the coolest stories I heard is I did an interview with Dave Grohl, and he was telling me when he was coming up with the idea to do Probot, he didn't know what the reaction was going to be to him asking guys like you to be on the record. So basically all you guys said, look, send us a track, and then you guys would put your vocals on it, and then you came out with, like, a great record. And Red War, I just think, is one of the coolest tracks, and we played that on Talking Metal long ago when we first started the show. And how was it doing that with Dave?
It was great. I remember he at that time when he first called me, I thought he was nicknamed the project FedEx.
Oh, cool.
Because he was FedExing stuff for all these singers. He sent me a CD with five songs, and then for me to pick one, and I pick Red War. That was my favorite one. I just love the beat. It remind me of Territory a little bit.
Cool.
So it was something that was really easy for me to get a grasp on it because of the vibe of the song. And I just went in the studio and I wrote the lyrics and called it Red War. And then, you know, boom, it's done. And I just got a call back from Dave. He said he loved it. He really, really digged the track. And I actually got to play that with Soulfly on the last European tour. So we'll probably play that on a U.S. tour as well.
I cannot wait to hear it, man, for sure. So, Max, I just wanted to thank you very, very much for taking the time out. I know you have a really busy schedule, and thanks for talking some metal with us, man.
Yeah, man, no problem. Nice for being on the show. Thank you very much.
And we're looking forward to seeing you when you come down to New York.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Hello, everybody. This is Max Cavalera from Soulfly Cavalera Conspiracy, and you listen to Talking Metal. I'll see everybody on tour. We'll be right back.
That was Eye for an Eye by Soulfly. We are back here at the official Talking Metal home base, my apartment, also called the Silver Spacecraft. And we are with Mike and Dan from Nonfiction.
Hello.
Cool. I wanted to also just get a couple plugs in there. The Talking Metal t-shirts are just...
selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, exactly. anyways, buy yourself a Talking Metal t-shirt. We have the store section of Talking Metal up and running, and you can purchase your own t-shirt. You know, Jason Jayhawk just sent me a picture.
That's great.
Let's post that in the news section.
We absolutely will.
There will be a picture of Jason Jayhawk modeling his... Talking Metal t-shirt.
And it looks
with
cool.
Somebody famous.
Elton Brown, the guy from Good Eats on the Food Network.
I don't know who
that is. And he's also like the commentator on Iron Chef.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his, so I thought that was pretty cool because initially I'm looking at the picture of Jayhawk with the shirt and I'm like, is that Elton Brown? And then I read and it says he went to a book signing and he wore the Talking Metal shirt. So very, very cool. Yes, if you have a shirt and you're with a celebrity, take a photo.
Yeah.
I haven't got any Talking Metal t-shirts yet. And you guys want to be in the guest list for the Nonfiction show, right? All right. We'll work something out.
Believe it or not, I paid for my own t-shirts.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you pay for everything.
It's a deal that we have with this. It's like they don't send us the t-shirts. It's this company.
Right.
But they're good quality t-shirts.
Yeah, they're like real good shirts.
Yeah. So, but I'll get you a t-shirt. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Hey, maybe we should introduce you guys.
What do you mean? Oh,
you
want it?
At the gig.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh.
You're not going to wear that crazy space outfit, are you?
No, no. But we're going to have CeCe Banana.
CeCe Banana. No, nobody in a banana suit, please. We did a show called Screaming Metal with the guys you're listening to, myself, John and Mark from Talking Metal, Alan Tecchio on vocals, Ron Lipnicki on drums, and nobody told me we're about to go on stage. I haven't played a show in years. I'm really nervous. I want everybody off the stage. And next thing you know, a 6-foot banana is on stage right in front of my equipment introducing us. And I'm like, Who decided this? Where was I when we talked about this? But anyway, guys, thanks so much for having us. We want to promote one more time, Saturday night, November 7th, one night only, Nonfiction at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey. The website is dingbatsnj.com for advanced tickets. We're going to go on around 11:30, and we're going to be heavy.
Cool. And stay tuned to MTV2's Headbangers Ball. We're going to be up there with some new content back on the air very soon. Hopefully this will happen. But talking with the people over at Revolver, doing an episode with them. They have a very cool calendar coming out. The Hottest Chicks in Metal 2010. Angela from Arch Enemy, as well as other people who I forgot off the top of my head. But they actually shot a lot of these photo shoots. We have the footage, and I think we're going to bring it to you on MTV2 during an episode of Headbangers Ball. So
yep, stay tuned.
That's tentative. Yeah. And what else? How about the news section? If you do have a Talking Metal t-shirt, we will post your picture in the news section. If you email it in.
Please.
And I guess that's it, right? Send us an email at talkingmetal@yahoo.com.
Check out the Talking Metal forums at talkingmetalforums.com, run by all the great guys over there. And what else should people do? Go visit Dan Lorenzo's website.
Yeah. DanLorenzo.com. .net.
.net.
I'm sorry. .com is
a boy from Indiana who runs track. I don't know why he feels he needs a website.
Hey. Mike, do you have any MikeChristie.net?
No.
How about a MySpace page?
I have a thing. It's not metal, but it's called Nolan's Volans, and that's at MySpace, Nolan's Volans Music. And it's just a one-man band. It's just me playing everything. And it's
very cool.
It's not super heavy. Some of it's a little rock and roll, but not really for your audience, I don't think.
Hey, well, support it anyway.
Yeah,
support all things that we tell you to support.
And the F-bombs. When is F-bombs on again, Dan? Thursdays 3:00. At 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
Thursday. Thanks a lot, Mark, for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you said you used to listen to Talking Metal long before you...
I was driving a truck for a couple years, and I would listen to you guys religiously. And I kind of found you by accident on the podcast section.
Oh, cool.
Right. And I just fell in love with it right away, and it's
Thank
a
you,
pleasure
man.
To meet you guys.
Yeah, hey, it's a pleasure to have you down here and on Talking Metal. Thanks very much, and I feel sorry for anybody who had to listen to us.
Driving the truck part is what you should feel sorry about.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mike, and we will see you at the Nonfiction show at Dingbats. We're both going to be there. At least I think we're both going to be there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we got to buy our tickets now because
yes.
I think
I'll look
be,
out for you guys.
It
we'll
will
talk
definitely
about
sell
t-shirts.
Out.
Sounds good. Cool. And this is My Way by Nonfiction to take us out.